Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. In the last broadcast, I was describing the Godhead being one. The Lord Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God to humanity in the flesh, as 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 declare when Apostle Paul wrote and said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, you need to know that it was God that manifested to us in human flesh and not three gods in heaven. That is what this sermon has been trying to point out. We went to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 8. And we also went to chapter 4, verse 3, verse 8 to describe. And also Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and verse 18 to point out that the book of Revelation was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ as God Almighty. He was the one on the throne. I pointed that one out in the last broadcast, that he that was on the throne in the book of Revelation chapter 4, they said one sat on the throne to be looked upon like a jasper or sardine stone. Now, Apostle John, who walks with Jesus Christ for 3 years, he recognized the Lord Jesus Christ if he has seen him. But you see, he's no more seeing him as the Lord Jesus Christ that he knew on earth, because he has went back to the position of the Father. So he's to be looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. That's what he saw. That's just describing what he saw. And when they said, "Holy, holy, holy," to the one on the throne, they were saying he is Lord God Almighty. But they also described that he was and he is to come. But you see, they only used past tense was for somebody that died. So how can they use he was for God unless he was the one that came to die on the cross? And that was what the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 revealed. When he manifested to Apostle John, he called himself the first and the last. And he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And he said, "Behold, I am alive forevermore." That is where the was and is to come shows up. And he said, I have the keys of hell and of death in chapter 17, and verse chapter 7, chapter 1, verse 17 and verse 18. Now, so that first few verses show that the one on the throne in that book of Revelation chapter 4 is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said that there was a book in chapter 5, and when he opened the book, and no man is worthy to open the book, then he saw an elder that said, "Don't weep, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, he can open the book." And while Apostle John looked for a lion, he saw a lamb. Now, if he has seen our Lord Jesus Christ that he knew when he was with him for 3.5 years, I'm not preaching about, he would have said, "And I saw my Lord Jesus Christ came and took the book." No, he saw a representation. So he saw a lamb that was as slain, as a bloody lamb, and he has 7 horns, not like a lamb or not, 7 horns, 7 eyes, and he said, "This lamb went and took the book." Now, the mystery is that they transfer the worship from the one on the throne to the lamb. All the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the lamb. Why? That's why if there are two different people, that would be idolatry. They are worshiping another god. Are there two gods in heaven? No. But they recognize that the one that is on the throne is also the lamb when he came as a human being on earth. That's why it was a representation of the one on the throne. And that was why they transferred the worship from the one on the throne to the lamb. And it was not idolatry. Like I described in that first chapter, I say it's almost like give an analogy. If the president of a country, say the president of America, and everybody recognized him when he's in the suit. Now suddenly he went among the military guys and he put on a military gear to be among the soldiers, because he was expected to be the chief of staff, or what they call it, the head of the military. Now, all those soldiers that recognize him as still president, they were still addressing president, sir, even though he was dressed in the military fatigue like them. And then let's say he went back inside and he changed his dress and put on a golf dress. He wanted to go and play golf. Now, when he is among the golfers, they that recognize him, you still call him Mr. President. Even though he was dressed in short and shirt like the golfers in a cap, that is just changing positions. That is exactly why God has been manifesting to man as the Father when he was talking to the prophets, and as the Son when he came upon the earth, and he said, I and my Father are one, are the same thing. And the Jews didn't accept that, but he is the Father manifested to us. And now he is in us as Holy Spirit. That's why he looked like God, the Father, God, the Son, God, not three persons, three positions of the same person. It's one God manifesting in three different ways. In fact, he could manifest as many ways as he wants. But that is the three ways he has been manifested to mankind. And Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews said, God in sundry times has been talking to us through the prophets. Now he has talked to us through his Son, that is when he manifests as a human being upon the earth. And now he's in us as the Holy Spirit, God in us, Christ in us. So it is Christ in us and the same God, the Holy Spirit that is in us. It is the same one Lord manifesting to humanity in three different ways. And let me point to some other Bible verses, because some people may say, you guys are saying this, but Jesus can never call himself God. Let me show to you in the scriptures where the Lord Jesus Christ called himself more than just a prophet, more than just a preacher, more than just another angel from God, sent by God, but that he and the Father are the self same thing. Let's go to the Gospel of John, the same Apostle John that wrote the book of Revelation. He also wrote the Gospel of John, and because he has already seen what the other Gospelers have written, so he wanted to clarify many things after he has seen what Apostle Matthew, Mark, Luke has written. So in order to put them, that these are the things that he wanted to tell us more about whom Jesus Christ is than just what he did when he was on earth. And so you will see from who Jesus Christ, what Apostle John wrote, what Jesus Christ said about himself in many places in the book, in the Gospel of John. Let me first point you to Gospel of John chapter 8. In Gospel of John chapter 8, Jesus Christ was telling the Jews that were arguing and debating with him on this issue. And they told him that before, you are not even 50 years old, have you seen Abraham? Let me read it in Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 56. And the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the Jews. He said, in verse 54, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Now, he was calling God his Father, because he manifests as a human being, so he has to address the Jews who have been worshiping this God in heaven and say, I am the Son of God, and they didn't want to accept that either. But he said, your Father whom you say is your God is my Father. My Father whom you say is your God is my Father. And he said, yet ye have not known him. He said, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Verse 56 is where I'm going. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, this Bible verse blew up the mind of the Jews that were listening to him. See, he was saying Abraham saw his day. Now, Abraham has been dead long gone, 2,000 years before that time. So they wanted to question him on this, verse 57. They said, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus Christ said something to them that made them want to stone him. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, that statement blew their mind. It means that he was God. For him to say that, he is God. And what was the response of the Jews? Then took they up stones to cast at him. See, because he just declared himself that he was before Abraham. And they were looking at a 30-something-year-old man and thought, you are not yet 50 years old, how can you say you have seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham, your father was, I am. That means he has been before Abraham. Now that will have been either you are a lunatic or you are more than a human being. Okay, many people will accept that he was more than a human being, but they try to say he was just sent by God, like God sending an angel to the world to become a human being. No, it was God himself that came down. That is the difference. Now, this thing he mentioned that before Abraham was I am, that they wanted to stone him for, a prophet has already mentioned that before in the book of Micah. Let's open to the book of Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, in verse 2 of that book of prophet Micah, and we know that it was God Almighty that was talking through all these prophets, whether the big prophets or the small prophets. Micah will have been classified as a small prophet because he wrote just small books, few books, few chapters. But Isaiah the prophet, who wrote 60 something chapters, they call those the big prophets. Now Micah was one that I wrote in chapter 5 that said in verse 2, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Now, consider that last part of that Bible verse. He's saying this one that is going to come forth and be a ruler in Israel is going forth, has been from of old, from everlasting, which means it's not just a human being born that 30 years that we were thinking of. This one is going to be the Lord that has been going forth from the everlasting. It's coming from everlasting, going to come out through the line of Judah and going for everlasting into eternity. And that is what Prophet Micah wrote, that this one that is going to be ruler in Israel is going forth has been from of old, from everlasting, which means it was before Abraham. And Jesus Christ told them that, but they couldn't accept it because they didn't want to accept that this is the Messiah. Now, the Jews in the generation of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were expecting a Messiah. You have to remember, they were expecting a Messiah. The question is this man that Messiah? Once they rejected him as the Messiah, whatever he say does not matter to them. Well, they were expecting a Messiah. Now, they also know that this Messiah will come down from the sky, which means he will be from eternity. But they were not really understanding if he was going to be born as a human being. See, that is the problem. Many prophets all through the Old Testament were prophesying that he is coming. And actually the book of Isaiah prophesied about different manifestations of the Messiah. And the rabbis that were trying to interpret over the years later, of course there will be different rabbis all through those generations that will be trying to give their interpretation, their opinion, their ideas, how they think it will manifest. And there may be several opinions, and there will be majority opinion, there will be some minority opinion that may even be right. There may be some minority opinion that may be right, and the majority opinions may be wrong. But their opinion was that this Messiah is going to come from the sky, but they really didn't know whether, they didn't understand whether there was a first coming, or second coming, or third coming, because that was not revealed to the prophets. They just put all of them there as if it will come. When Isaiah said a child shall be born from a virgin, they never realized that was still talking about the Messiah. When he said that a servant of God will suffer and be like a servant, that will be a sovereign servant of God, he says he was wounded for our iniquities, he was bruised for our sins. They didn't recognize that was still talking about the Messiah. They might think those are different people, different prophets, different servants of God. So to link all those together is what they did not know. And that is the revelation. God didn't reveal all of those things to them. Even the prophets didn't know that they are talking about the same person. That it is the same baby that was born through a virgin. It is the same one that was the servant that was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Or is the same one that is Lord from heaven that has come down to save Israel. Because God was telling different time zone, time frame of this same Messiah. Let me give an example. If you are to even tell your own history right now, somebody say, tell me your history of your life. Which one do you want to tell? You may tell where you are born, in a small little town, a village somewhere in Colorado or in New York, and you tell how you are born, where you are born, in the village where you are born, and that was all you tell. But you can also start a place where you went to college somewhere in Albuquerque, or you went to college somewhere in London, and that will be your teenage years or your college age years. Or you may tell them how you finally retire. So there are different phases of your life history. But that was what the Holy Ghost was talking through the prophets, and he didn't tie them together to make them know that it is the same person that was going to be born of a virgin, is the same person that is going to come back from the sky one day, or is the same person that is going to be wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. So there are a little sketch here, a little sketch there, a little sketch there, a little sketch there. They couldn't tie them together. So when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, some are debating and say, if he is to be the Messiah, he should be, or the ruler they were waiting for, he should come from Bethlehem. Well, he was born in Bethlehem, but the prophecy didn't say he was going to live all his life in Bethlehem and start a ministry in Bethlehem. So they missed him there. They were saying he should have come from Bethlehem. But this man came from Galilee. See, that is where they got mixed up. Now they said, someone said, well, we know this man, we know his father, his mother, that this Messiah is supposed to come from nowhere, from the sky. See, that's where they also missed him. They didn't know whether this is first coming or second coming or third coming. So that was where the Jews in that generation were blinded, because he was not going to explain to them or tie this thing down together for them, so that he can send the message to the Gentiles and we can all be saved. The whole world can be given the opportunity to be saved. That is the mystery that God has revealed, that has been hiding through the ages, and it's now has been revealing it to us through the apostles, to we that are knowing more at this end time. Even Daniel, the prophet, said he wanted to know some of these things, and the angel told Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 12 that, seal it up, Daniel, you cannot understand these things until the time of the end. And now we are understanding more of it because we are looking at history, and we can see these things as God is revealing it to us, to be able to put this together and say, this is why the Jews couldn't recognize it, and this is what it actually meant. Let me point to another Bible verse here. Job, in the book of Job, chapter 19, we see where even Job wrote that this is Redeemer will come and be upon the earth, and that he himself will see this Redeemer. And the book of Job was written long before the Jews, and people didn't know when it was written. They didn't know who was even the author of it. And I could point to you that, and according to the rendering of many of the expositors, they have said this book of Job must have been written in the time of telling the story of a man that lived during the days of Abraham, or in that time frame, which means then it could only have been written by perhaps Moses. If it's not Moses, it could have been somebody else that wrote the story as God revealed to them, but it was written, and the setting was in the days of Abraham and the days of that patriarchs. Now, Job, in the book of Job chapter 19, he mentioned that his Redeemer will live upon the earth in the latter days. Chapter 19 verse 25 said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now, what was he talking about? Which means this Redeemer he was talking about, he could see him, maybe he sees him in visions or in dreams, or he talks to him, he knows whom he's talking about. He said, my Redeemer live, and he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And he went forward and said, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, and in my flesh shall I see God. So he's saying that he will see God, even though he would have been dead and his body rotting. But say he knew he was going to be resurrected, is what he's pointing to here. He said, in my flesh shall I see God. Means Job believed in the resurrection of the dead, at least the righteous dead. And he believed he is one of them that will be resurrected. He said he will see God in his flesh, even though his skin worms will have destroyed his body. For thousands of years he would have been dead, but he believed he was going to see God. And verse 27, he said, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So what was Job prophesying? He was prophesying about his own resurrection. that in the latter days, when the Messiah or his Redeemer shall be standing upon the earth, which means he knew about the Lord Jesus Christ will come as the Messiah and be upon the earth walking as a human being. And he knew that he would have been dead, long time dead before that happened, but he said he would be resurrected to see him. And you say, did that really happen? According to the scriptures, when the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, in the book of Matthew chapter 27, it was reported that the body of some saints rose up and showed themselves to people in Jerusalem. Now, we believe that that was what Job was prophesying about, that he probably believed he would be one of them, that he will see the Messiah with his own eyes. He said, he called him my Redeemer. And he must have been seeing him when he was alive in visions, or showing himself to him in visions, that made him to say, I know he will stand in the latter days upon the earth. And so you can see that when Micah said he's going forth as being from of old, they were prophesying that the Messiah that they thought was just 30 years old, he has been from before Abraham. So when he told them, and before Abraham was I am, they should have believed him. But they did not understand it. They wanted to stone him. Now, another verse I'm going to point to you to make you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ we are following is God manifested in the flesh. Let me take you to the Last Supper in the Gospel of John chapter 14. When the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the apostles. And as I said, they were also almost confused with all these things because he always talked about my Father, my Father, my Father. And each time he was talking, that word, my Father, seems to be confusing them because they were used to, you call somebody your Father, they are thinking of the earthly Father. And they will have been saying, why did he keep talking of my Father? He's talking to Joseph, who was dead by that time, perhaps. And then you refer to him as God, his Father. So each time he mentioned my Father, he's bringing their mind almost back to the earthly Father, Joseph, or something. Who is he talking about? So that's why they were in a confusion most of the time. But until the last meal, and this is where they were discussing in the last few days before the Lord Jesus Christ was to be crucified. And in verse chapter 14, from verse 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Now, he didn't want to continue to tell them that you have not known him. He said, he wanted to say, you apostles, you have known him. You just have to believe it. So he went forward and said, from henceforth, ye know him. And you have seen him. He said, they have seen the Father. He said, now Philip wanted to be blunt, point blank, and just ask this question, which all of them would have wanted to ask. So Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth us. I mean, they just wanted to come down to the point. Let's just come down to the point right now. Just show us the Father. Because he told them in the previous verse, he said that if you have known me, you have known my Father. He said, from now henceforth, you have known him, you have seen him. And they just wanted to just tell us point blank. They said, show us the Father. And this is what Jesus Christ responded. If there's another Father that you show himself to them right there, this is where he should have, because this is in our circle, this is in the secret chamber, this is where he should have said, let me call my Father to come and show himself to you guys. But he didn't say that. This is how he answered them. Jesus said unto them, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, what was the Lord referring to? He was saying the Father is the spirit that is in him. And the flesh they are looking at is just a carcass. And the spirit that is in him is the Father God Almighty that incarnated in that flesh. Now, you that is talking to, that I'm talking to, me that is talking to you, we are three in one, really. We have our body, that is the one that goes to the grave when people die. But we have our spirit, that's our spirit, and our soul that are joined together as one inside our body. That is one that gets out of the body through the mouth when people die. They call it the last breath. But it's invisible to the physical world. Now, that is we human beings, but God Almighty is invisible to the physical world, and is the God Almighty that put on the flesh in the womb of that Mary and came out as the Lord Jesus Christ and did all those wonders. And that's why he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He is the manifestation of the Father. Like a mud print. If you are making a clay and you're trying to make a clay of a spirit, you put that a spirit that you cannot see, you put all the clay around it that shows the impression of that spirit. The impression of God Almighty is what you see in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he is the Father manifested in the flesh. And our own spirits are created by the Father God and sent to our parents, our daddies, into our moms. You see, that is our own individual spirits. We came through our daddy into our mom. But God Almighty put on the flesh because he has no father on earth, and he is the everlasting Father. He just put on a physical flesh in the womb, a egg in the womb of Mary, and came, and you are seeing him. Say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, that is the mystery that the human race have not been able to know. Even the Jews didn't understand it, but God is revealing it to us. And he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And that was why they say he's going forth as being from of old, from everlasting. It was God that manifested in the flesh. Now, knowing this, what is this to do to you? It's to make your faith to be united in one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And believing in this, you have life. Believing in this, you have hope. That if you have Jesus Christ, you already have God. Just follow him and obey his word. And let him change you from within. Because the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He came to make us live the way he wants us to live. Showing us, not just showing us example, but coming to live inside us so that he can work his will in our life and will in our life the way he wants us to work. So it is Christ in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And believing this is life. So if you have known Jesus, you have eternal life. Now, I'm going to pray with you if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, because this is the great mystery that God is manifesting. God has manifested to mankind in three manifestations, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now wants to come and live, as Jesus living in us. He wants to come and live in you. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is Christ living in you, living his life through you. Because we cannot live this life by ourselves, the life of holiness, we cannot do it by ourselves. It is true. Holy Spirit living in us and living that life of Christ through us, we just have to ask him to take over. Stop doing it yourself. Just ask the Holy Ghost to take over your life, and then you will just hate all the things that are called sin. It will just be natural in you to hate it. Why? Because it's taking over your spirit, your soul, and your body. And then you will be a new creature. Say, as he said that, or anyone that is in Christ is a new creature. All things have passed away, behold, all things become new. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart right now, and he will save you. Jesus, I pray for all that are listening. Help them to understand and help them to receive you as Lord and Savior, and let them be saved. Amen. Now write to me and I will send you some more literature. Write to the Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Gospel Distribution Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. You can write to us on the internet. Send your email to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. You can also read all our literature and listen to the sermons on the internet at www.gospeldistribution.org. God bless you. Jesus is the full manifestation of God in the flesh. Amen.